We're back like we never left. In today's episode, you get a chance to get to the money. Listen to one, the oldest business in the world, real estate. I get a chance to interview mentor, educator, expert, real estate. I want to call him a guru, but there's so many people that's still in the name and making it bad that I'm just going to say he's going to give you the game. In today's episode with my guy, Doug, let's get ready to win the day.
Are you ready to win the day? Every hour is worth $100. The whole day is worth $2,400. You're going to pay yourself a minimum of $240. Just 2 hours and 40 minutes. Anything less and you lost a day. The life equation for success. Never stop.
Success is not for the soft. We about to win the day. We not hoping, we grinding just to go win the day. No disrespect, but we solely focused to win the day. A long clock off, homie, about to win the day. Success is not for the soft. We about to win the day. We not hoping, we grinding just to go win the day. No disrespect, but we solely focused to win the day.
Welcome back to another episode of Win the Day with Marcus Wyrosia. I'm your host, Marcus Wyrosia. Who else? I'm excited because not only do I get to interview him, but I get to learn. So I've got my pen and pad out. Now, do me a favor. Listen, your memory's not that great. Make sure if you're riding in your car, you're working out at the gym, pause it or either you're going to have to watch it more than once. This is absolutely free. The only thing we ask is that you share it with somebody. So, man, how do I introduce a man who needs no introduction? Doug Depp, listen to me. You probably right now, well, the first just passed, so you probably in some way, some shape, some form have sent your rent in for the month, and he might have got a piece of that. So I want to start with something that I like to do that I call one for one. So I'm going to say a word, and you just tell me the first thing come to mind. Don't have to be a sentence, nothing. You just, first word come to mind when I say the word.
All right.
Real estate.
Freedom.
Wealth.
Building.
Money.
Mobility.
Freedom.
Anything you want.
Education.
Necessary.
Mentorship.
Must have.
Wow. See, I love to do that because it's one of those things I call a blink reaction. Like, what comes to mind? Because every word paints a picture. So, like, what was the picture for you when you first got started into real estate? Was there a picture beforehand? Did it happen on accident? Like, how'd you get into it?
That's a great question. So, you know, growing up, I wasn't one of the wealthy kids or anything like that. But I was fortunate enough to go to a school where, you know, kids are getting Range Rovers when they turn 16.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they're getting private jets when they turn 16, going to Australia for a long weekend.
Yeah.
So what I realized was, I was like, man, these kids are no different than me. You know, I'm rubbing shoulders with them. We're taking tests. We're passing tests. We're struggling and so forth. But what I realized was, as I start to hear them talk and start being around their parents, there's a commonality. And that commonality, no matter what the profession was, I'm talking about, you know, lawyers, doctors, you know, sports players, what have you, they all had the commonality of owning real estate.
Wow.
So once I saw that, you know, man, this real estate, and it just kept coming to me, right? Because I started reading books, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and talked about real estate and creating wealth through real estate. So I just started to become fascinated about that. And then to even take it a step further, my parents used to take me to open houses every single Sunday.
Oh, wow. That changed the game.
It changed the game. And the reason they did that was because my brother was locked up the majority of my childhood. So we actually had to travel all the way to Graterford Prison, a big Pennsylvania prison. So to kind of break that up on the Sundays was, you know, we go visit him. I mean, it's a traumatizing experience. Imagine being in third grade, going to a prison where they're patting you down, they're waiting for one door to close for the next one to open up. They're patting down your pockets. You gotta, you know, raise your hands and get, you know, searched.
You feel like a prisoner.
You feel like a prisoner. You know, you're going in there to the vending machine where you put a dollar in. You get a hamburger in a vacuum sealed package that you have to warm up in the microwave. Yeah. It's crazy, right? Yeah. So it's traumatizing. I'm like, I don't know what my brother did, but I don't want to do anything related to crime where I might end up in a place like that. So I think he got me on the straight and narrow. But the thing is, my parents took me to open houses every single Sunday we went to go visit them. And also they were able to take that negative and make it into a positive experience. So it was great seeing my brother and everything, but I was really looking forward to the open houses simply because, I mean, these houses were huge. They're getting free cookies. You know, I like to eat, as you know, buffet master. But the key is, you know, we were seeing these open houses and it just kept instilling in me, like, I can't wait to own one of these. You know, I'm 10 years old. I can't wait to have a house. 11 years old. Can't wait to have a house. So it was just a situation where as I went through the ranks, then I started to really zero in on me wanting to have that freedom for myself and have real estate,
be the forefront. How old were you when you got your first property?
I was 23 years old, I believe, when I got my first property.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
See, you got to hear this.
Right.
There are people at 23 who waiting in line to buy Jordans.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or to grab some Yeezys. You were making an investment. I think that's one of the major things people have to realize, the difference between spending money and investing money.
Right, right.
You know, the expectation. What changed your mind to say, while everybody else is buying, is waiting to go to the club at 23, you know, that's the years that you blow your money.
Right, right.
You were already thinking investment, like, why?
So kind of take it a step back, right? You know, my parents, they invested in stock market and so forth, and I invested in stocks as well. But when I went to college, I had to pay my own way. Like, my parents basically cut me off financially at 18. So I had to figure out how to make my own way, right?
Yeah.
So during that time while I was in college, I found a sales job selling Nutrisystem, which is a weight loss company. So I was selling food, and all I worked was my summer breaks, winter breaks, and spring breaks. But I mean, I was putting in 16 hours, 20 hours a day because I had to pay my way through school. And I started to get, you know, a couple dollars in my pocket. And I probably for about a month, I spent splurging, buying the True Religions, the shoes and so forth. But I said, you know what? I don't need any of this. Like, I'd rather make my money work for me. Yeah. And my dad gave me this book, The Richest Man in Babylon, back when I was in sixth grade. But then I revisited that book, and it really talks about that your money is your servants, right? So your money, you have to treat your money like your servant. So anytime you want to go get something, your money can actually do it for you. Say, for instance, if you have a car, you could pay someone 10 bucks and have your car washed. You don't physically have to do it.
Yeah.
So as you start treating your money like your servants, then you don't want to just spend it frivolously, because what happens is, as your money gets depleted, it can't make you any more money. So once you get into your mind that you can actually take some funds and have those funds keep you know, working for you, just making more servants, then you're going to be in a different situation. But when I bought that first house, it was a game changer. Like, completely changed my mind forever. And with being in finance, I got a job. You know, I went the corporate route because I spent, you know, 4 years of my life working to get this finance degree. So with getting that finance degree, people ask me, like, Doug, you know, you're making this much money, a good amount of money in sales. Why are you going to pursue your finance, you know, goals and so forth? I say, hey, listen, even though it's going to take me 12 months to make the same money I was able to make in 3 months just on my summer breaks, winter breaks, and spring breaks, I still wanted to pursue that finance just to get that business acumen and really put my degree to use. But the crazy thing is, right, when they signed me up for Bank of America, I was in the financial rotational program. But within being in that rotational program, right, the moment I'm hired, I'm walking up the elevator, but I'm seeing grown-ups, I mean adults, carrying these boxes. I'm like, what's going on? But they were in tears. I'm like, why are they crying? What's going on? And then the person that was walking me through, the HR lady, she was saying, you know what? What's happening is we just had massive layoffs, you know, for some people that have been in the company for over 20 years. I mean, these are folks that are in their 60s, you know, 65 years old, walking with these boxes, crying in tears. I'm like, massive layoffs? They're like, oh, don't worry about, you know, you guys are good. You guys are going to be, you know, A-okay. And I was like, man, like, this is crazy. Like, imagine someone just pulling the plug and you got mortgages, you got kids in college.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It changed. One of the things I always say, I said, you owe it to your family to protect them, to not put your family's livelihood in the mind or hands of another person.
Right, right.
So, like, you to look your kids in the face and have to tell them no, not because you want to, but because another adult made a decision about your life. The power of that. I want to back up, man. Our story is not the same but similar. My parents was in the real estate.
Okay.
They made us go to every one of their closings.
Okay.
And would explain the documents. So my mother would ask the person questions or make us come up with questions to ask.
Right.
So we got familiar with the process. I bought my first house. I was 19.
Mm.
I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew about saving. And looking back, I would have never spent all that money on clothing. Like, I came to the table still thinking putting 20% down on that when... Right. You know, you learn along the way. Then I got into tax deeds and flip, you know, on down the line. So one of the things that I remember even back then was I didn't understand it altogether, but I just knew it made sense to put my money into something that could generate me some income. But the process that people always ask, there's a gap between it. Most people, there's fear surrounding real estate because people feel like from an educational standpoint, I don't know the process.
Right.
I don't know how this works. I want access to my money right away.
Right.
So one of the questions I'm going to ask you is like, how did you get the capital? People ask me that all the time.
Or, right.
Let me know. How did you get money to buy a house? People say, man, I don't make enough.
Right.
So what was that process like for you to say, okay, I want this. How do I go from what I currently have to get enough to close that first property? And I've got the inside scoop that you told me even about.
Yeah.
You know, people are looking for a magic pill.
Right.
They're looking for, you know, the flat tummy tea.
Yeah.
As it relates to success. How do I shed the fat of bad habits and immediately get a result? So I want you to mention some of your process of how you got there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So really to start it off, you know, I'm very frugal. So I mean, I'm a frugal person where, you know, even while working at the job.
Let me just say this. Hey, everybody. Frugal means AKA cheap. Okay,
carry on. Right. Well, no. There's a difference. Cheap is just you don't want to spend any money.
True.
Being frugal is you're being cheap with a purpose.
I got you.
So my purpose was to put funds away that I can invest.
You know what I say. I always say I'm fiscally responsible.
Fiscally responsible. Okay. That sounds a little better than frugal.
That would sound real fancy, right?
Right, fiscally
but yeah, responsible. Go ahead and tell us the story.
Yeah, so basically, you know, even with working at the job, I'm one of those guys that I'll eat rice, broccoli, and a little steamed fish every single day with beans, black beans. So I was bringing in my lunch every day. And I mean, I eat a lot. So I would make like a big rubberware container of food. But to take it a step back, when I got my first investment property, that was back when Obama was given an $8,000 tax credit.
Mm.
So if you were to purchase a property, Obama would give you an $8,000 tax credit where you basically would get those funds right back. And in addition to that, you only had to put down 3.5% with the FHA program.
Yeah.
All right, so with that, I was being an aggressive saver, and I'm talking about aggressive saver where I was able to save about 80% of my take-home pay.
Whoa.
Yeah, yep.
Y'all got to hear that. You saved how much of your take-home pay?
80% of my take-home pay, and that was before I had a house.
Wow, 80% of your income you were saving. Exactly. How'd you have the discipline to do that? I'm sure there were things you saw that you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. The real way where I had the discipline was simply because, you know, I made good money. While I was in college, I was making $50,000 to $60,000.
Wow.
So having the discipline to write that check to school, you know, so that way when I left college, I only had $20,000 worth of debt. You know, having that discipline of writing the checks to school and really being a responsible adult and really understanding where my dollars were going was a huge thing. And even when I got my first apartment right out of school, I had a roommate. It was a girlfriend at the time. But I said, you know what? We're going to split this rent right down the middle. So basically it was a built-in roommate.
G-code.
Yeah, right. And we're going to split the bills. And then that's right around the time I was having, you know, rice, beans, broccoli every single day for lunch, darn near dinner as well. So I knew that I wanted to own a property, right? And this was in Wilmington, high-rise building, $1,200 a month right in front of the water, you know, living it. But then I found out my one buddy said, you know what, Doug, if you change your apartment to an obstructed view looking at the garage, they'll reduce your rent $200.
Wow.
Sign me up. So we moved from the, you know, ocean view or the river view, moved right to the obstructed view just to save $200. So now instead of paying $600, we're paying $500 each.
Wow.
But then I say, you know what? After a year of renting, I said, I no longer want to rent. I want to own a property. So a realtor, I contacted a realtor. We located a property, a new home in Newark, Delaware. And there was new construction going on. And I put my deposit down. I think it was about $1,500 down. But with putting that deposit down, we had to live somewhere for about 4 months. So there's a gap, 4 to 5 months, where I actually moved right back home.
Wow.
So that I lived for free for those 4.5 months, saving up more funds just to get me prepared and ready for that down payment, right? So the down payment came out to be $16,000. But I was able to get that $8,000 back when I filed my taxes. So it really came out of pocket, $8,000.
Jeez. Yeah. I think what, like, the secret code I hear in what you're saying is being able to elongate your perspective. And I'll say what I mean. I read a book, I can't remember to give credit to the person, but he was talking about real success is based on how far you can stretch your mind to visit the future and come back and make decisions today. So if you can stretch 2 years and make a decision today, you'll get some success. But if you can create a picture of 10 years and with that data make daily decisions, you can change your life.
Oh yeah.
Most people live 2 weeks. Most people live a week. Wow. So you think about the very poor live hour to hour. I get this much per hour. And there's that space of if I take off work, I don't get paid. Or if I take off work, I get paid based on the hour. Then you got those that get that think monthly, this is how much my bills are per month. And you have those that think yearly, this is my annual salary.
Right.
And you got another group that thinks 5 years, here's my plan. That's totally different because now you're making the decisions with the future in mind. And that's what it sounded like you had. It sounded like you had a picture of the future and you made daily decisions. Rice and beans wasn't based on your income weekly or two weekly.
Because
you had enough money to go out to eat.
Absolutely.
But it's the idea of long term, here's where I want to be.
Right. In banking, we call that long range plan.
Wow. Mm. So you were navigating your daily decisions by where you wanted to end up years from now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's hard in this day and time because now I'm in that space. I keep telling people and even with coaching.
Right.
Everyone wants to post on social media, but people don't binge on social media. Like, they don't go back through your post from a year ago.
Right.
So the way I explain it is, from a digital marketing standpoint, YouTube is digital real estate.
Absolutely.
Instagram isn't.
Yeah.
Instagram, you're renting the space for a moment in time. It's like a, hotel or Airbnb.
Right.
YouTube, you what is the first thing you do when you find someone content? You binge on it.
Right.
Stuff like this podcast, it lives forever. And it's one of those things with real estate. You understand the long game of it. So what? Let me ask this: what's next?
What's next?
Where are you at now with the discipline? Do you still have that discipline, or you made a couple of dollars and it's like?
No. I still have the discipline. You know, right now to this day, I'm living somewhere that only costs me $850 a month.
Wow.
Right. Right. And that's even having, you know, millions and millions of dollars worth of real estate. I'm still laying low. My friends always tell me, hey, you need to go buy this and this and so forth, but I'm still just laying low in the trenches because I know that my main goal is to continue to acquire as many properties as possible, but really fix up the neighborhoods, provide as much quality housing as possible at an affordable rate. And then I know that, you know, my life mission is just going to keep going because there's always going to be houses to fix up. There's always going to be neighborhoods to improve. There's always going to be people needing a roof over their heads. Yeah. So it's just, you know, I'm just going to keep pushing. And you know, eventually it's going to come a time where we're going to be buying 100-unit buildings, 200-unit buildings. Right now, we're kind of focusing on singles, duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes. We have a new construction, a 5-unit building that's going to go up within the next year. But it's just, I'm just seeing how far I can go.
Wow.
Seeing how far I can go.
While I have you, I got to ask you two more questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not keep the information to yourself? You have a program, A&E.
Right,
what is A&E?
So it's acquisition and execution, right? Okay. So I want to give as much knowledge to as many people as possible because I wish someone was there to just sit me down 8-10 years ago and really just give me the true game.
Yeah.
Right? Just to take a step back, I paid $3,000 for a Donald Trump class right when I was 20 years old. And I was sitting on the couch with my brother at the time and said, you know what? You know, I'm thinking about getting into real estate. I'm thinking about getting this education program, but it's $3,000. You know, being a young guy in college, about to pay $3,000, like, oh, man, I'm scratching my head. I'm walking back and forth. I'm making these calls. I'm, you know, I'm on the fence, right? But my brother said, if you got it, get it. I said, man, if you got it, get it. So I looked at my bank account. I saw I had a couple dollars there. So I invested in that course. And I didn't get everything that I needed to know, but what I got was the ability and the confidence to take that first step.
Yeah.
And then those first steps, you know, before you know it, I'm walking up the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning as I go. You know, I took a lot of bumps and bruises throughout the 8 to 10 years. I'm talking about, you know, imagine having a property, you put $100,000 in, and the project, a 2-family house, doesn't get finished till 2 years later.
Oh, wow.
So that's the type of bumps and bruises I'm talking about. Most people would have folded. But now that I'm able to help people avoid making disastrous decisions like that, and streamline the process and the growth process so that way they can get to where they're going a lot faster.
So you personally mentor people and take your financial losses
yep.
and your struggles and mm-hmm. give them that information.
Exactly, exactly.
Nobody's doing that. Why not be selfish with the information? Why share it?
I mean, I'm a big giver, right? I'm like the information I went through, all the experiences I went through, I don't want anyone else to have to experience that. You know what I mean? I don't want anyone else to have to experience with dealing with bad contractors that take all your money up front, disappear, and then you kind of trying to, you know, track them down.
Yeah.
So I'm just a big giver of information because I feel like the more information that people have, the better they'll be able to change their family's lives forever. Jeez. So I'm just about making the biggest impact in the world as possible by sharing my information, sharing my gift. And the old, you know, song, you know, growing up was, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine."
Yeah.
So that just stuck with me in my head. So if I have a light, I'm just going to keep shining because that's going to allow other lights to shine and so forth. And it's going to be a trickle-down effect.
Wow. Well, how can people learn more about A&E Mentorship Program? How can they connect with you? For those who are looking to get into real estate, those who have, who say, "I know what I want to do, but I don't have the information on how to get started." And that's what most people are.
Absolutely.
They have desire, right, but they don't have discipline, or they have desire, but they don't have dedication. And
right.
Let me say this before you answer that question. You said something critical that everyone needs to hear. You said, "I invested $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
I find so many people that have a scarcity mindset, not as it relates to, they believe that by spending money, they have less, right?
Right.
But they spend on some of everything else. And then when they actually start a business or they get into the educational space, right, they charge low prices, and because they can't with conviction charge people because they know they never made that type of investment.
Mm.
So it's hard to ask for $5,000 or $3,000 with confidence when you've never paid nobody that.
Right, right, yeah.
So you can ask people to invest with confidence because you not only have done the work yourself, you have also invested in the educational courses, so you know how you want to provide that information.
Absolutely.
So kind of how can people invest in themselves to learn what took you losses, struggle, discipline? How can they learn that? How can they get in contact with you?
I mean, the best way is right through Instagram. If you guys are on Instagram, you can go to Doug, D-O-U-G, then my last name, Dept, D like Doug, E like Eddie, P like Peter, T like Tom, E like Eddie. That's Doug Dept. Right on Instagram is a great way because I'm actually providing a tremendous amount of value. I think there's over 110 videos right on my Instagram. So that way you guys can kind of get a taste of real estate and how to win in real estate.
Yeah.
So I'm giving a lot of the content out right for free. I'm giving the game right there. And then if you want to dive a little deeper, you can reach out. There's a link right in my bio on Instagram and find out more about the A&E program. And we would love to get you scheduled for a call because it can change your life just like it changed mine.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I can't give y'all everything. I can't give you everything. We would be in here for an hour, 2 hours. We are right now in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. When he was talking about freedom and mobility, you know, nowadays everybody can be an expert by clicking edit profile and then just adding whatever word in their bio.
Right.
So you can fake everything, but you can't fake mobility.
Mm.
You can't fake the location that we're actually in now. Our businesses are still running. That's why I say if you don't have an online business moving forward, you don't have a business.
Right.
Blockbuster didn't know what the last day would be. Mm. But the moment people stopped saying, "Make it a blockbuster night, but let's Netflix and chill," not only was the carpet man, the cleaning company, the real estate company, the person who laid the asphalt, and the workers were put out of work by an idea. So I think now it's moving forward. They need programs like what it is that you're doing, the A&E program. You're changing lives.
That's the key.
So make sure that you reach out to Doug Dept if you're looking to get into real estate. Make sure, do us one favor. There's so many amazing gems. Send him a comment. Slide in his DMs and tell him how he helped you with what you learned from this episode. This is another episode of Win the Day with Marcus Y. Rozier. Let's win together. Win the day.